Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I interview Josh Pollack. Josh is widely known for his company Caldera Labs, creators of the popular Caldera Forms plugin. I'm super excited to have Josh on the show today because he is such a good culture fit for the Divi community, even though he's kind of got his own thing going on. Josh is someone who loves to tinker. He loves to learn, create, and empower others. And that's really at the heart of what we do here, a set of values that we like to promote because it tends to make good entrepreneurs, good community members, and for the purposes of this podcast, good conversations. In our conversation, Josh and I talk about a lot of stuff, but we kept coming back to the one thing that he credits for the growth of his business and the maturation of his products. And yes, it does have something to do with ice cream. Sort of. All that and more in today's episode of Divi Nation. Here it is. Josh, welcome to Divi Nation.
Hi, thanks for having me, Nathan.
Yeah, of course. It's happening. So far,
it's really happening.
All things are go. No systems have failed. We have synced our schedules. It is over a year and coming. You're actually one of most people who listen regularly probably know this, but you're like literally one of the first people I ever interviewed for the podcast, and it messed up. There's technical difficulties. Then we tried again, same thing, but different problems. And then scheduling error after scheduling error or mishap. And finally it is happening. Josh Pollack is on Divi Nation. All things are good.
It's epically wonderful to be here.
Yeah. We're debating for the audience, guys, we were debating whether or not we should like whip up a hype reel for it, but ultimately time constraints won out. I think we should have, but
I told you should.
Yeah. So what's been going on in your world today, man?
I've been working on Caldera Forms Pro today, which is my obsession in a good way.
Yes.
We're making emails easier and better looking for Caldera Forms users, users of our drag and drop form builder. I had no idea that like the act of sending an email from WordPress was so complicated until I started working on a form builder, and we're trying to make that easy.
Yeah, so that's an interesting area of WordPress, right? Because it's like everybody knows that, you know, the power of the list, et cetera, et cetera. So sending emails, whether it's just, you know, newsletters or blog notifications or, hey, thanks, we got your sign up or your submission through our form, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. Like, it's the core of what makes collecting people's information actually valuable.
Yeah. So we, for the longest time, were giving a terrible answer to, hey, my emails don't send, which was, you know, use a third-party transactional email service.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was getting at, is like, for something that's so valuable to people who own their own websites, it's funny that we farm that out to third parties. Like not even WordPress developed, just complete third parties, like whole other ecosystem of products, but I mean, they do a great job at it, but it's just kind of funny when you think about how, you know, there's definitely some space there for people in the WordPress ecosphere to say, here's a WordPress solution to this problem.
Right. I mean, I always look at MailChimp as a WordPress product company, right? Because what percentage of their business is people connecting various, services to on running on a WordPress site to MailChimp. It's a whole thing, but that's
it's got to be like a massive portion, right? Yeah.
Right. It's millions of their customers. And I don't know how many customers they have, but millions of them are running on WordPress.
Yeah.
So it's a huge part of that. And I've been in that world working with users, and people want their emails to not go to spam. They want them to be delivered. They want them to look good. I mean, a lot of them want it to be attached as a PDF. Thing we found out listening to users. And we didn't like the common answers to this really should be easy on WordPress, but it's not. So we built Caldera Forms Pro to solve those problems, to make it easier. You know, you just put in some API keys and it's a service that takes care of emails. You're not configuring DNS. You're not figuring out Mandrill, MailChimp, whatever garbage. Like, we're not going to have a technical discussion right now on why this is all complicated, but believe me, I've spent a lot of time on it. And, you know, we're users too. You know, we're always the first beta tester on our products. And it's really cool for me that I can actually now look and say, somebody came to my website, they got an auto response. What time was that? Did that come in? What time? When was it delivered? Did they click on anything in the links? And it looks good, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's got branding. You know, we have advertised our own products with our own products sometimes.
Yeah.
So, like, you send us an email and it sends you an autoresponder. It says, this was sent with Galderiforms Pro.
That's cool.
So it's cool. I really like that. And we're taking, in our next level, is to use that for some of the email marketing stuff we're rolling out this week, where we can better understand, you know, errors that are happening on your WordPress site through the plugin. That's pretty neat. It's been a lot of fun. You know, it's a new way of doing WordPress development for me.
Sounds like a big morning.
I haven't even finished my coffee.
Oh yeah, I got a new coffee that I'm trying out. It just a Trader Joe's cold coffee concentrate. So it's this little 18-ounce bottle, and it makes something like 96 ounces of coffee.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. So I've been getting it. It's not like true coffee snobbery, but when it's like way better than any other coffee that's that fast. As fast as opening up your fridge and pouring yourself coffee, nothing is as good as that as fast as something like that.
Right. So here's the thing. Do you want to go? You want to talk about coffee, because it's a dangerous topic with me.
Maybe not. Maybe we should.
I've been weirded out about three things: WordPress, science fiction, and coffee. Anything else? I'm like guy comes to my house the other day and asks me what's wrong with my garbage disposal, and he said it doesn't work.
Okay. That is it coffee ground? I don't know where that came from.
Okay, in my dishwasher disposal. He was like, is it the motor? Is it jam? I was like, I have no idea, bro. But if you want to talk about coffee and my six coffee makers, we can go there.
Maybe we should stick to WordPress. That is, after all, what the folks are tuning in for. Speaking of which, you've been such a mainstay in the WordPress community for so long that I'm sure you've told your story of how you got into WordPress so many times, but I think we'd love to hear it here, if you wouldn't mind kind of delving back into time a little bit and telling us about when you started getting into WordPress, how development kind of kicked off for you, et cetera, et cetera.
So my story is pretty normal. I was going to school for environmental studies, getting my master's degree. And part of that was kind of writing a blog about my own story. And that was kind of like this nerd blog, obviously. And so, just nerd stuff. And like, one of the highlights was Chris Hardwick, who's now kind of famous, flamed me for being wrong about him. And he was right. That was my first real Twitter social interaction with celebrity.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Yeah. So I think I started it on Blogger and moved it to WordPress.com pretty quick for reasons. And I just started, you know, Googling how do you do X with WordPress. And that made me realize I had to be on self-hosted WordPress. And I got way more into like hacking my theme and most of the time breaking my site. Right. I was like, hey kids, use local development was not something I
started going to WordCamps. It's so funny because that's such a common piece of advice that, you know, everybody's been doing it for a little while now knows. And because everybody who's been doing it a little while knows that, they're always telling brand new people, use this, and here's this, and now we've got stuff like, you know, desktop server, so it's like, it's really easy. And back in the early days of WordPress, everybody was doing it live and everybody was messing up their website all the time.
Luckily, nobody was reading my website that was crashed out half the time. But also, it wasn't very good, and it wasn't the kind of writing I wanted to do, so on and so forth. But I really liked playing with theme, right? I liked hacking the theme. I knew like HTML, but not like CSS at the time. But I found like, oh, you can like download this and open it up and start hacking some PHP files, and it kind of makes sense.
And PHP and JavaScript are fairly simple languages. They still all look like gibberish, but you learn like a few lines and you're like, I know if I change these characters here, or if I take this snippet and I put it here, and you get addicted.
Right. So like, yada, yada, yada. Like, I got a job working for Pods.
Oh, yes. Pods, the custom post type company, right? Yeah. The plugin company.
So they do custom post types, custom fields, a lot of other just really neat stuff like that. And I learned just a ton working there, you know, being support and then kind of moving, kind of designing a job similar to what you do for Divi and Elegant Themes, right? Community manager, content, you know, dealing with content, dealing with building community. You know, we created a Slack channel. We created, we had a podcast for a while. We created sort of a funding, you know, system there. But I also got more into development, really learning from those really talented people there and met some people through that that led me to starting what's now Caldera Labs. And we started with a bunch of different types of plugins, you know, pods add-on, that sort of thing. And the pods add-on needed a form builder, right? So for, 'cause the pods add-on does like, oh, you can show some custom post types that have certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
Which what we thought was cool. Turned out what was really cool was that this thing we threw
the,
in at the last
form
second,
builder,
you,
yeah.
Well, no, you could build a search form. So you could have like books. It has taxonomy called authors and like that kind of stuff. And then you could have this, you could have a form that lets you search through your post types.
Oh, wow.
That was like the thing we threw in that turns out to be the only reason anybody uses the plugin that's actually pretty successful for us.
That's funny.
But we started building a form builder into that. And they were like, hold on, we have this form builder. That one of the developers have been working on. And so we kind of made it like, oh, this is this optional part, but it enables this other feature, which we didn't know was the only feature, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody cared about it, we should have just called the thing pod search or whatever. you know, when we started, I think we had like 1,000 users or less on Caldera Forms. And so we just hit 90,000. And it's kind of that business thing of, you throw a lot of stuff against the wall and see what hits, right?
Wow, yeah. So that's a big milestone that just happened.
Yeah, that was Monday or Sunday. It's just Tuesday now that we're recording this. And we hit 90,000.
Congratulations!
Thank you. It's really picked up since like November. You know, we had a good year last year, but in the last quarter, it really started to pick up.
So, what point did you switch from kind of that? You're always in learning phase, but when did you decide to learn for yourself, i.e. go into business for yourself? You know, when did you take make the break from being support or primarily on someone else's team to creating your own product and really running with it?
About 2 years ago. And I'll tell you, I did it too soon. So Pods is a really interesting place in that Pods doesn't sell anything. It's never going to sell anything. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of sponsor based. Automatic's the main sponsor, and there's a lot of other community sponsors there. And so I learned a lot about development and doing support and kind of being, you know, community manager, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't learn a ton about running a business because it wasn't a business. You know, it's a business, but it's
interesting.
But it was a different type of business. And if I could do it again, I would have gone to work for a commercial plugin shop with the goal of running my own commercial plugin shop before doing it myself. I think the WordPress world is changing in a business level of it's more mature now. There aren't people showing up and being, hey, I'm the only person who does this. And you can't, right? We're having good success doing a form builder. That's the thing I always say is like my least original idea is the one that worked, right? We threw all these ideas at the wall that were like, new takes on things, totally new things. I was like, nobody's doing this. This is genius. Nobody's doing this on a non-enterprise level. We're going to bring it down from enterprise to WordPress. What worked? Forms.
And so, because you're right. It's like, to a certain extent, the market is getting mature to the point where, like, more or less, maybe we know, say, like 90% of what users really want. And so, like, there's just a ton of business targeting all the different separations of that. And so it's like, people knew for a long time that forms were a big deal, but you're like, I can do forms. There's enough pieces of that pie left for me to do forms and succeed.
Right. It's a massively expanding, it's a massive market, right? And it is, and nobody solves it all, right?
Yep.
Like I use Divi sometimes. I use some other page builder sometimes. Sometimes I don't use a page builder. I use the one that works, right? And we found, it's a thing we didn't understand until we started doing the research, that Contact Form 7 is a pretty common plugin to be co-installed with Caldera Forms.
Interesting. Okay. Like on the Tell me about that. Do you find SEO. Out why? Because, yeah, two, I mean, like the one that's like the behemoth free one that's been around forever, Contact Form 7. But why would someone put both of those on their website like at the same time?
So we found a couple answers to this. And we found one is because they're in the process of switching. They're in the process of trying it out.
Okay.
The other thing that we found is it's really not uncommon for people to have four or five form plugins on their website because they all do different things. Or, the new developer doesn't want to use X plugin, but let's not mess with that thing that already works. Let's use the new one for this.
Whoa. You know, interesting.
WordPress is weird in that way. And but at the end of the day, it says this is, you know, this sort of weirdness of the market solves a problem. In terms of you're not locked into, right? Like if this was all hosted and you use Jetpack Forms and you're done, you just kind of walk away from WordPress if Jetpack Forms didn't solve your problem. And so I really love the fact that I can tell people, you know, our form builder's responsive, it's drag and drop. It's kind of like a page builder in the way that it works, which is very different from other things. But try it. I hope you'll like it.
Maybe you'll find a few, if you don't want to switch to it 100%, maybe you'll find a few niche use cases because that seems to be a thing. Well, that's a super interesting tangent. I want to really dive into the whole comment you made about like maybe you wouldn't have done it quite as soon. What are some of the hard lessons you had to learn starting your own plugin shop?
It's a couple things. One, getting back to emails, I didn't build the email list with like as a top priority from day zero.
Yeah. And you would if you were doing it over again?
That's the number one, like literally there's a core question that's this question that I answered, and that's what I put number one on my list of things I would do. When you install Caldera Forms now, it has a little, hey, getting started guide, sign up for a mailing list. That's been huge for us. Getting people to go from the plugin screen to our documentation, to our website. That stuff we didn't prioritize from day one, and it created, you know, a lot of people were using the plugin and didn't know we had a website. I think that was a thing that we made a mistake on. And even though we started with this freemium, which worked very well in the WordPress world, right? WooCommerce, very much proven that you can build something really successful by giving stuff away for free. And we can come up with 50, 100 other examples. We didn't think through the business model of freemium, right? And it's never going to be as pure as like Dropbox, right? Dropbox is like the ultimate pure freemium model. It's free for 5 gigabytes. It's paid for 100 gigabytes. You like it, you need more, you buy it. You're never going to get that clean in WordPress, but we didn't think about that end to end in the very beginning.
So what are some examples of like hiccups that you ran into as a result?
I think that we didn't understand as a result what would be the value of paying for the product. And now we're thinking like, oh, it's emails, oh, it's support, like these are right, because we did product research. Now, like, this is a thing we didn't do. We were like, we're developers, right? There wasn't like a business person on the team when we started. There is now. But we were like nerds, and we were like, oh man, this is cool, look, it's like, you know, it's drag and drop, it's Ajax, it's responsive, everybody will love it, right? And they did.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, you're right. That's like a shot in the dark at the end of the day. You know, you really don't know if the thing you're geeking out about that week is going to be the thing that, you know, 1,000 customers want to buy.
Right. And we found, like, yeah, people like this thing. But we didn't think about what is the compelling reason why people would buy that.
Yeah.
And I think that's, if you're a website developer, you have to ask that same questions, right? If you're like, hey, I'm going to build WordPress websites for a living, who cares? And I don't mean that as like pejorative.
You're totally,
I mean,
right. There's thousands of other people out there doing the exact same thing. You got to answer the question of what, you know, why does having me do it matter?
Right. And I think that both of us know a ton of people who do that for a living, right? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Some of which are doing well and some of which are not.
Also, yes.
I would suspect that the difference is the people who can answer the question of why would a specific group of people hire me are the people who are doing well.
People yeah.
have thought through, like, in some cases, it makes perfect sense to hire me.
Right. So in a lot of times on the podcast, we frame that a little bit differently, but it's the exact same thing, which is like, what is the unique value that I provide, or what is my type of client, or what kind of client is a good fit for me? So it's like, we talk a lot about finding that fit, because for a lot of people, and I know this is true for you because we've talked about it, but a lot of freelancers in general, not just developers, but in the design world, lifestyle, personal lifestyle is a huge deal. You know, like, and a lot of people do what they do because it allows them to lead a certain type of lifestyle. So why would they target a client base that makes their life miserable? You know, so that's right. Another thing. What's interesting, a question to ask to you off of that, because that's what we normally deal with. But with you, you know, you're creating a plugin that's anybody, and then you have to support people who might very well make your life miserable. So how do you deal with that reality of you love the freedom of doing your own thing, but in a certain way, your success might kind of trap you in a sense into something that is not an enjoyable aspect.
Right. So, I mean, that comes with the territory. I think everybody has this, you know, oh, I have freedom that comes with this. And right. That it also imposes restraints, right?
Like
We support is a top priority for us. It's one of the things that we found is our differentiator is our support's really good.
Yeah.
Because I really like, it bothers me when things don't go well, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's true. I mean, I hear whenever I'm seeing, your brand Caldera mentioned, it's usually either something positive about you or something positive about a feature or something positive about support. It's like one of the three things. So that's good. I think you're dead on that you prioritize that, because that's the feedback that I think most people hear.
And I think it's something that's lacking in the WordPress world is that, you know, I spend way too much time talking with other WordPress plugin developers, theme developers.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I hear too much about users that not understanding the problem becomes this pejorative thing that I think is an onboarding thing or asking the wrong amount of things, right?
Yeah. Is sorry, explain that a little bit, though. Like, you mean the users don't understand the problem that the developers are trying to solve? The
user doesn't understand the problem they're having.
Oh, okay.
And I hear that directed as if these people don't understand, they're idiots, why are they doing this?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like
they don't need to know the mechanics to know their website doesn't work. You know, like.
Right. Like, you have an onboarding challenge there, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a bad attitude that I don't like, and that I see too much in this community and I don't like. Maybe this comes from being an educator, right?
Like, yeah.
I've had this wonderful thing I figured out that I learn really well by explaining, right? That's always been a part of my process.
Just learn something. That's been a big part of your blog for so long. It's just like, I'm going to figure this out in this blog post, you know?
Right, but that was for me, that was figuring out that I could help make ends meet by people would pay me for the second half of my work.
Yeah.
Like, including owlgetthemes.com for a while.
Absolutely, yes. We still got plenty of blog posts on there.
Yeah, we link to them sometimes. There's some good stuff in there.
Absolutely.
So maybe it's because I'm a teacher that I like to teach people how to solve their problems. And I like to figure it out, right? I like solving problems. I like working with people. You know, I've been teaching technical stuff since before I was a WordPress developer.
Oh, okay.
You know, I used to teach audio engineering.
Right? Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome. So,
yeah, I used to be an audio engineer.
So the problems we were having early on were like super frustrating for you. You're like, get your shit together, man.
The thing is, I don't remember any of this. Like, there was a time where I knew everything. I know nothing.
Yeah.
I'll follow it up. But so the point is that I think for us, we found that that's the value, right? We kind of thought that we thought very different things going in to get back sort of merged questions here.
Yeah.
Like, what would you do differently? We didn't think through what was the thing people will give us dollars for enough.
Right.
And one of the things that we found by doing that research is people want support. Yeah, they want our add-ons. Not everybody needs our add-ons, right? Mm-hmm. That was the... Right, like we're just looking at like, oh, that worked for WooCommerce, right?
Right.
You sell them PayPal, you sell them MailChimp. And yeah, some people use our PayPal and our MailChimp, but the emails are what people really need help with. The support is what people really need help with and what they're going to give dollars for. And I'm never going to apologize for prioritizing what people will give me dollars for.
Yeah, dollars. I can't. You're like, I need those. That keeps this whole thing going.
Right. If we don't have enough money, then we're done. But that's great because people like our support. And, you know, it was almost shocking to me when people were like, oh man, you reply the next day, you reply the same day. Mm-hmm. It worries me a little bit for our industry, right? Because we're all connected here.
Yeah.
But that's shocking to people sometimes.
Yeah, I know we've definitely found the same thing on our site. You know, like we've been able to dramatically boost sales and responsiveness in general just by having like live chat. You know, like one of the early people to do that in the WordPress space was like WP Engine, just like revolutionary to have like a small little problem with your website and you just like IM basically. Like someone, like a developer, you know, like they're like a lot, all those support people, unless they are just trained on every possible problem, which I'm sure they are. But I mean, like, it seems like a lot of them legitimately have like a really good knowledge of what's going on across the board with a lot of different plugins, a lot of different environments, a lot of different scenarios. And you just go, hey, I'm having this problem. They're like, here's three things, do it. And if it doesn't work, just let me do it. And I'll hop in the back seat and take control. And so it was amazing. And so like to have, I think that kind of got people going, holy crap, like support and sales can be instant and it can be amazing. And I've seen that start to take off in other areas. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's a challenge, right? Like, so I've experienced WP Engines. Like yeah. I've opened that box and been like, hey, I'm an idiot. Can you help me out?
Like, I always feel a little embarrassed too. I'm like, yes, I am. You know, people read my writings on WordPress all the time, but I, for the life of me, can't figure this out. Can you help me?
Oh, I'm bad at so many parts. Like, people ask me, it's like you do computers. People must ask you to fix their printers.
Right.
But anyway, I get that too. But like, I get that about things in WordPress where I'm just,
I don't know.
I have no clue there, right? I have very special skills.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm really good at, like, we were joking, I was 5 minutes late because I crashed my own damn website.
It's back. It's live, people. CalderaForums.com is live.
It was my own blog. I'm a little bit slower to crash my own.
Okay, that's a little bit more forgiving. Well, sorry. I want to redirect. I want to get us back to some of these tough lessons that you learned. So one was not identifying not thinking through the business model and the repercussions of your business model. So you went freemium, and what? I think we were trying to identify what some of the big problems were for you with that model, or what things did you identify that made you maybe rethink and go, oh, maybe this wouldn't have been the best thing for us.
So I think that we, as I said, right, like a lot of people, we kind of looked at WooCommerce and went, we're going to do that. Yeah. We're going to be a free plugin with MailChimp and PayPal. Mm-hmm. And we're very much now, we still have MailChimp and PayPal, but we've rethought how we sell that, right? It's now Caldera Forms Pro. This comes with a web app that handles the email stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, makes the form look good, gets delivered on time, makes that simple, and then comes bundled with those add-ons when you purchase for the.
Okay. So you really do have two different versions now. It's not like a free core version with add-ons. It's actually two different versions.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's getting added on top, it's really like it's a much smoother, right? I've done this a lot where I've overcomplicated things in my life.
No.
So I didn't know that my first WordCamp that a lot of my friends now were there, right? Like looking at the schedule, a lot of my friends were there or speaker. And I've told them that I'm mad at them for not like going at like WordCamp Birmingham 2013 and being like, Josh, you're going to try and overcomplicate things. It's cool, but like, just keep it simple, bro.
Keep it simple. Such good advice, especially when you don't think it's necessary. It's usually really necessary.
Yeah. So that's something that by looking at, talking to more users.
Yeah.
Talking to people who don't use our plugin, right? Hey, we're friends. Why don't you use Caldera forms, right? Yeah. It's a discussion we have with friends. And finding out what it is, those are things that I think need to be done by every business as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And we waited too long to do it. It doesn't matter what kind of business you're doing, right? If you want to open an ice cream stand, talk to people who actually eat ice cream, right?
It's
very basic stuff. Understand why they would consider using you. And also, so, I think qualifying that with people who have shown a willingness to give you money.
So in your case, what you resulted in, you got down the road a little bit, and instead of continuing with a more classic freemium model, you did sort of like an upgrade model where it's like you have to buy this pro version separately. It's not like...
So it's an upgrade, but also it's... What we're doing is pretty unique in the fact that it's a hybrid now where it's a WordPress plugin and it's a web app.
Right.
We're solving the problems that you can't really easily solve in a WordPress plugin with a web application.
Isn't Optin Monster also kind of like that?
Well, Optin Monster is just a...
They're a separate type of plugin, MailChimp, of course.
In the sense of you have a plugin that connects you to MailChimp.
Yeah.
So this is... What's cool about this is you still own your data, right? Okay. That's one of the value propositions of WordPress.
Yeah.
If people just wanted to use web apps, there wouldn't be Caldera forms or Gravity forms, right? Mm-hmm. There'd just be WooFoo and Typekit, right? And Google Forms, right? Which are great products, but I want that data sitting in my database. I wanted to add, you know, I want to do the customizations that you can do with a WordPress plugin, right? And then maybe send it to Google Forms, right? Like Google Forms is great because it sends Google Sheets. Why do we always use all these connectors to Google Sheets for our WordPress plugins? Because we have the value of having that data also being owned by us.
Yeah.
By being able to customize the plugins, because that's one of the reasons why we love WordPress. We have hooks, right?
Yeah, totally.
So we have now this hybrid model where you still, all of your data is still sitting in your database. You can customize it the same way that you would customize any other WordPress plugin, right? You are adding your hooks, your filters, your JavaScript, your CSS, whatever it is you need. You're integrating it with other, you know, plugins, testing code. But the tricky parts, which is making an email look good across any device, making sure it's delivered, making sure it doesn't go to spam, that's just not a problem you're solving with a WordPress plugin. So we have a web app that goes with that.
Nice.
You want to know, is it open? Is the click tracking, right? That kind of stuff. Generating PDFs, right? That's like a thing that chews through RAM and WordPress.
Yeah.
We're doing it on a web app, right? So we're kind of keeping the things that you love about WordPress that I'm not going to give up, right? I also know how to install WooFoo, right?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, what you're saying is like when you decide to actually talk to your customers, that's when you found the best version of your product. It wasn't what was cool for you as a developer or what was fun to do, you know, as a lark or as like your own curiosity fulfillment. It was truly understanding who's using your plugin, how they're using it, and then designing the next phases of it to match those needs, even if that means doing something unconventional.
Yeah, totally. And one example is the PDF. I have never felt the need to attach a PDF of a form submission to an email. But people kept asking me for it, so I built it. And it's a feature in Caldera Forms Pro, and we spent a lot of time iterating on it and making it look good. And, you know,
that's so something that we can relate to because, you know, Divi is so feature rich. And yet, whenever we do anything, almost like if Nick just like says anything on like social media, every response will be off topic and about the feature that the next feature they want involved, which is awesome because we love that. We create these huge lists of it, but it's really funny too because you're just like, you know, there are certain features that we would never in our wildest dreams have been like, that's the money maker right there. But there are some features where it's like, it's minor to us or it's minor to other people, but for a certain segment of really passionate people, like that's their feature and they need it. And as soon as it's available, they're going to sing your praises and give you money and et cetera, et cetera.
That's the tricky part, right? Like we're beta testers, we're users, right? I'm running CalderaForms.com. Is running betas of pretty much everything. It's accidentally running in a WordPress 4.9 right now, alpha. Wow. I'm always testing stuff.
And you're building everything with Gutenberg?
We're not talking Gutenberg. I want to be wrong.
I'm not bashing Gutenberg. I just thought, you said everything was on beta, so I had, you know, it is a beta, so.
I have it installed on my personal blog, and I keep tabs on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've written some stuff that's critical of it, and I want to be wrong. That is my goal.
Oh, totally.
So I want to be critical of it in hopes that I become wrong.
I think this Friday, probably the same. So, yeah, this Friday is likely that I'm going to do a live stream where we talk about WordPress news with one of our contributors on the blog. And Gutenberg is going to be one of the topics. And I'm looking forward to just talking about the side-by-side comparison of Ghost 1.0 with Gutenberg, because they did the exact same thing, but they, in my opinion, they nailed it. Like, Ghost nailed it. Looks real slick. And for a first version, obviously, like, you're like, you can instantly see how it's going to mature, because the bare bones version of it is like so nice. So that'll be really interesting to get into discussion about, you know, are we prioritizing the right types of decisions in that?
Are we solving the right problems, right? Don't look back to our decision of like, what problems are you solving?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like a few years ago, there were a bunch of plugins that came out that had this really cool, very simple blog-oriented building experience, right? Mm-hmm. Front end. Barley was one that doesn't exist anymore. Aesop Story Engine was one that I have a part attached to because I built part of it. Right? So on and so forth. And this was also around the same time that, like, Divi was, you know, we're talking 3-4 years ago, right? This was
when
Divi kind of blew up, and some, you know, the other competitors to Divi blew up. And those type of plugins that I thought were so beautiful and I loved went nowhere. Why? Because Divi's solving the problems of, like, how people use WordPress.
Yeah, no, like, I totally agree. I was also super invested in Aesop Story Engine. In fact, some of my first articles for Elegant Themes as a freelancer back in late 2013, very, very early 2014, were featuring Aesop Story Engine because I thought it was cool. I thought this idea of long-form journalism or long-form storytelling would really change the way that people created and consumed content online, and all that was really needed was for that the friction of that process to go away, and so people could more seamlessly get their thoughts onto a digital page, onto a digital canvas in a really compelling way. And what I didn't realize at the time, which clearly my now bosses did, is that that's too niche. You don't need to create the builder that's just right for storytellers. You need to build the builder that's just right for people in general who want to put content on a page, and storytellers will be able to use it just as, you know, if you make it a good general purpose builder, people will be able to specialize it with add-ons or whatever. But if you make something that's only good for one of those, you're going to get gobbled up by the general people.
Right. And I think that we spent the last 4 or 5 years telling people WordPress isn't for blogging, it's for building small business websites, for building applications. And products like Divi, I talk to my users. I haven't talked to any bloggers in forever, right? From my users, users are like, hey, we have this
business owners
that has this specific need, and they're using WordPress because I could build them a web app that does what they need.
Yep.
And I would say to them, okay, that's going to cost $30,000. That's going to cost $50,000.
Right.
Or they could kind of slap together some plugins, and maybe there's a little bit of custom code. Maybe it's add-on. Maybe it's Zapier, right? Maybe it's MailChimp that handles a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they're going to spend a little bit of money on plugins. They're going to spend a week on development, and they're done, right? That's why WordPress is a thing.
It's a bootstrapper's platform. I mean, it's there to empower people. And that's one of our core kind of values as a company, is empowerment. Because, again, from talking to our users, you know, back when I wouldn't have said empowerment would have been one of our core values pre-Divi, right? Because, I mean, to a certain extent, it always was because WordPress, it's a value in the community of WordPress. And so, like, just creating themes in and of itself is a bit of empowerment. But really, like, with Divi, what happened was people started to go, I was not even remotely able to create my own business's website in which it could actually make me money. I could maybe put a listing up. And now they're creating websites that look as good as just about anything else out there. And they're using these free layouts, or they're using, or they're hiring a Divi designer, and for like $1,200, they're getting something that looks crazy good, and they can manage it themselves. And so that is a whole nother level of empowerment. And I think what you've done with Caldera is very similar with the form building and making sure that all that, the data collection and manipulation from people who visit your site, that's kind of where you guys, the sweet spot you guys operate in, and you're doing the exact same thing in that area. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, that's what's so cool about WordPress, right? Like, I went to school for environmental studies at like a hippie college in Vermont, and we talked a lot about like community building and, you know, removing things from the marketplace and back in the community and these sorts of things as a way of talking about sustainability. And it was really cool for me that I like fell into this thing that was this, right? I was working for a plugin that did a company that didn't sell anything at the time when I got started in WordPress. Right?
That's so funny to think about, like, yeah.
Right, like I still have to explain to people, like, oh, well, I don't work for WordPress. Like, that, yes, there's like a large Silicon Valley back company that's been there, but like that's not the whole thing, right? Like, yeah. This crazy community that I've fallen into is totally by accident, right?
Yeah.
It's really special in that way, that it's just a bunch of people helping each other empower themselves and empower others. And I think it's really special. And it, you know, it takes a matter of, right, I love page builders because I can't make anything look good. Right? Like, I know HTML, I know CSS, yeah, but I'm never going to make anything look good, right? So
that's funny, yeah.
Right? Like, I could build a back end of a web application. I could build a WordPress plugin. I can't make anything look good. Right? Well, so we all kind of, like, do what we're good at.
Yeah.
And
then lend that to other people out in the form of these, like, free or affordable tools, you know?
Yeah. But that's really special to me.
Yeah. Like, no, I really totally love that. Is.
Like, I haven't been to a WordCamp in a while. By that, I mean in 2 months. But I'm going to...
2 months.
I'm going to WordCamp Montreal in, I guess, about a week and a half.
What are you talking about there? Are you talking?
Yeah. I'm actually talking about using WordPress in combination with other technologies to build web applications.
Very cool. Yeah, I've got a... We should stay on after. I have a little side project I'd love your thoughts on.
Sure.
But anyway, go on. Tell us more.
I missed that, like, 3 days of, like, hey, let's all get together and teach each other.
Yeah.
And be friends, right? Like... I love, like, I'm going to Montreal. I'm going to work at Montreal because there's a bunch of friends that I have that I have never met.
Yeah, right. That's a cool way of thinking of it. That's because that's what we like. That's true in WordPress in general. So every WordCamp I've ever been to, that's been the case. It's been doubly true for the Divi community because we spend so much time, like, in our kind of private, you know, parts of the interwebs, like whether it's our Facebook groups or blog comments, whatever, getting super extra close, or chats like this. But yeah, it's weird. It's like, whether or not I've met these people in person before, they're friends. And when I show up, I feel like I'm around friends.
Yeah. And that's so special to me about this community. And, you know, I had this discussion one time at a WordCamp about problems in WordPress core, right?
Mm-hmm.
Technical debt issues. And the person I was talking to said, like, so at what point do you just, like, fork it and start out, you know, and go in different directions? Because
yeah,
you know, we're talking about certain decisions that we both disagreed with that we think are holding back WordPress internal.
Yeah.
And I said, you don't, right? Like, there's not, like, everybody in this room could sit down in 2 weeks and come up with a more modern CMS that was better if we were starting from scratch, right? It's 13 years old. This is what happens. That's not the value. The value is that community. And I don't just mean that in, like, oh, I have friends, which is, like, a good value.
It's a big deal for some of us, man. No,
that's important, right?
Yeah. But
it's also important in terms of you can make a living doing this. You can be
if you don't have the ecosphere, if you don't have the massive user base of the baseline just self-hosted WordPress, none of us have businesses.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you and I have to go get new jobs, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's disappointing.
Which is no fun.
Yeah, right. But because of this thing that's there in this community, you can be like community manager for a page builder plugin.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's cool.
It's totally cool. Every day I wake up, I'm like, that's cool. So anyway, we could talk in circles around that topic all day because we both wholeheartedly agree with that sentiment. Let's probably try to end on a closing thought. We're hitting close to 50 minutes because you and I both like to talk a lot. And whenever you get two chatty people on the show, we tend to stretch the bounds a bit. My favorite thing that you said, because it was such a good good analogy, is if you're going to sell ice cream, talk to people who eat ice cream. I love that. And I think that's probably going to be the title of the episode. And the point is, you know, do your user research, no matter what you're building. And I think this goes really, this has been really true for people in our direct community and Divi community, where, you know, the most popular third-party plugins have been people who saw a need and saw a thing that people were talking about. And before we did something about it, they slipped their product in and then they got going. And whether or not that ended up being their end-all product or not, it gave them a user base and they started to, you know, branch out from there. And it all started with just listening to what people who use the product that you're building on top of, what they want.
Yeah, and totally. So if you want to talk to me about ice cream, keep in mind that I'm a vegan and lactose intolerant.
I'm also lactose intolerant, even though I love ice cream.
Amazing advances in fake ice cream. And some of them are really good, but I still think there's a lot of room to work there. So I think that might be right. Maybe you want to go mass market. Maybe that's a niche there, because I think like rice stream's gotten a lot better and there's these new coconut things, right? But I still think there's some chemistry to be done there to find your niche.
Josh, what are we talking about?
We're talking about vegan ice cream. The other thing that I wanted
We're
to
trying
say
to wrap up a podcast here, my friend. What are we talking about?
The other thing is, I think the Divi community is really cool. I'm in like 17 Facebook groups, I think.
Yeah, it's wild. There's a lot of them now.
Right, like we have a Facebook group for Calderiforms, which if you're a Calderiforms user, find us on Facebook, Calderiforming.
Yes, sounds good.
But I think that's really cool. Like we have these like Divi friends, like Aspen Grove Studios.
Oh, they're great, yeah.
But, you know, they have like, they made these like free Divi layout packs that use Calderiforms for like landing pages, sign up pages.
Right, yeah.
That like if you go to aspengrovestudios.com/Calderiforms. They have this free giveaway that you should really check out. Definitely want to plug them. But also as an example of, this is a really cool community you guys have built over there. And we love being sort of tangential to it.
Well, we love it too. It's always really cool to expand the reach of our conversation and the sort of specialness of our sub community into the wider WordPress world where everybody's hanging out, because it's just a reminder that there's so many cool people in this big playground that is the WordPress ecosphere. And we want to make sure that the especially cool ones like yourself get brought up to our community as often as possible. So thank you for all you do. Thanks for coming on the show. And remember, everybody, if you sell ice cream, talk to people who eat ice cream.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yep. See you guys. Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Josh Pollack, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave those questions or comments in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we will be sure to respond. Thanks again for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you all around the community. And as always, I'll be back right here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.